Hey guys, let's be honest. It's been 2 weeks.
And we got nothing.
Let's get those cogs turning.
Alright, everybody, welcome to Paradigm Gaming Cogcast.
Indeed.
I'm Blue.
And I'm Derp. And we have a special, wondrous guest today. One would say, glorious.
Oh, well, who would be so glorious as to grace our presence?
I don't know. Who are you?
I am Omega Apex 128.
Yeah!
Outstanding. So, this is our first time we're bringing someone else into the mix, and we just want to chill and talk. We're not actually structured this time. We are just going to talk random nonsense out of our ass, and that might even be a trick all on its own.
You're going to talk out of your ass, Derp? That'd be a first.
Hey, Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey did it.
He did it in one take. You'll probably have to do it in three.
Do you have a mint?
Perhaps some banaka?
Thank you for all your cooperation.
So, Omega, what's up? How you doing?
It's another glorious day in paradise.
Excellent, excellent.
Living life as best I can under these circumstances and enjoying every moment of it.
Awesome, awesome. Enjoying your moments is that's a glorious way to put it. I like it, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Do us a favor, do us a favor. Omega, tell our audience about yourself.
I was born in rural Oklahoma. Is that what you wanted? No?
Okay. We could go there. I just need to take another drink.
No, I am a streamer on Twitch. I have been doing online video content for the past 14 years. I'm a video game collector. And
he's a veteran.
I consider myself a veteran. Yeah. Veteran of video games. Veteran of the United States Air Force. So how about that?
Well, thank you for your service. That's awesome.
You're a double veteran.
Double veteran, 100% game expert.
100%. That's a very high percentage.
100%.
There. Awesome.
Oh yeah.
Now, why do you say that?
I think it might have to do with the collection, which consists of roughly 60 consoles and nearly 2,000 video games, physical.
Which you can catch on some of his streams. Which, if you go to twitch.tv/omega_apex128, you can see his collection on certain days.
I've actually seen his collection. On many days.
As have I.
It is quite glorious.
The Refuge is definitely a refuge.
Here's a question. Why do you call it the Refuge?
So the Refuge, what that comes from actually is, it's what our youth group was called in church when I was living in Germany. So basically it is a callback to that and a dedication more than anything else, because when I first started doing video projects back in 2006, it was done at the youth group.
Oh,
so
wow.
it was just one day, you know, we were bored waiting for practice to start because we always perform live music on Wednesday nights. And we were like, I got an ideal. What if we grab this video camera and go out and record ourselves doing something random? And Mr. Invincible was created. And because of that, so like, I've had Invincible Films for 14 years, and I called my humble abode the Refuge, basically, as a tribute to that.
That is awesome.
That's pretty awesome. I actually didn't even know that.
Yep.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool. That's new info for us.
The Refuge. Nah, the Refuge is both a physical and digital space. It is both your house and home, very humble, very awesome, very game central, but also your Discord, your Twitch channel. And it is a place for all gamers of all ages to all come out and have fun and hang out.
It sure is. I tell people all the time, you want to come over to the Refuge, that's fine. You got an open invite. Don't steal my shit. Don't kill me. And I'll cook you some dinner.
It's actually true.
Yeah, if you're one of those special types, you might get some of that bourbon.
Yes, only the select few.
Unless he's drank it all by now.
Well, actually, to be perfectly fair, I received a message from the Napa Valley Distillery.
Oh, what's the message? What you got?
They found another barrel.
Oh! That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm actually probably going to I'm probably going to jump on that.
All right.
I'm not going to lie. That is the best.
Yeah.
I like whiskey, but I like bourbon and that, but
yeah.
That was the best tasting shit I've ever had.
Was really smooth. Yeah. Yeah. You're not kidding.
So what's everyone been doing this week? Omega, what games you got coming up?
Coming up, So, well, today, I finished Luigi's Mansion on GameCube.
Congratulations!
Well, sweet deal, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I did that, and then after that, I had time, so I played Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures.
Yeah!
For the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, how about that? Ironically celebrating Pac-Man's birthday as well. So that was actually a lot of fun. I was able to relive my childhood there, remembering that it took me months upon months, if not one or two years, to beat it, and I beat it in about 2 hours. So,
well, I'm glad you were able to rekindle a piece of your childhood in a very random and obscure Pac-Man game that I don't think anybody on this planet knew existed until I met you.
No, absolutely. I made a point to point that out where, you know, when I say I'm playing the games from my childhood and people immediately dive in and say, ooh, Star Fox and ooh, Super Metroid and ooh, Super Mario World. Well, no. How about Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures?
We're talking about games from your childhood. And it definitely puts things into perspective because it's like, well, we all had different childhoods, and we all grew up with different things. And what better way to expose people to video games that we played when we were kids?
And to be perfectly honest, the mechanics of that particular game, I talk about how these games influence the way the gamer that I am today, and the way that game operates is like the perfect example of a game teaching me to explore everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, Pac-Man 2, It's not a left to right game. It's not like run to the other side and you're done. You got to look for stuff.
Plus, it gets pretty meta when Pac-Man gets to play Pac-Man.
Inception?
My brain. Pac-ception.
Pac-ception. Derp, what have you been playing?
So yesterday morning, a game came out, and I did a Discord stream, which got pretty popular. I was playing Maneater.
Down here, things always evolve. And the hunter becomes the hunted.
That's the one who took my hand, all right. Get yourself ready, boy.
Maneater. Eat the people, save the world.
Which is a game that is open world and RPG element based, where you're a shark. And you go and eat all the things. It is very simple-minded. It is very easy to play. But oh my god, it's fun. It is so simple to play. But you get to upgrade your shark and evolve it, is what they call it. You evolve your shark with different abilities. And you can change it around to fight different things. And it's a blast.
I watched you play that in Discord, and I was having a blast. Great water graphics, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great water graphics. It's made by Dead Island, so they actually know a thing about water.
Because yes.
Dead Island was a lot of water, too.
That's very true. They were on an island.
Dead Island was a lot of water and overhype, I think, is what you were looking for.
Yeah, that one, too. But it was fun with friends.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
The only time I had fun playing that game was when I was playing co-op with Derp online.
You know what was a fun zombie game, though? Solo or with people?
What?
Left 4 Dead 2.
Dying Light.
Right. Oh, you mean Resident Evil in first person before 7?
Yes.
And also the voice actor was Roger Craig Smith, who voiced Chris Redfield?
Yes.
Dying Light is Resident Evil to me, man. Yeah, I didn't finish it.
It's actually a good game, honestly. I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a lot of fun.
I should give it another try. I tried playing it, but Arcanian, my wife, she was in the room watching, and there's a few scary stuff, and she didn't like it very much, so I kind of stopped playing.
I'll tell you, during the night sequences, when the zombies get super angry, and then there's the super zombie things, I forget what they call them.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Those can be a little creepy.
Yeah, but the gameplay mechanics was great. Nighttime was horrible. I died a lot at night. They hunt you down, man.
And Omega's here like, I don't play scary games. They frighten me.
Actually, Omega, you have played Outlast?
I played Outlast.
Part of it?
I played Outlast.
Part of it?
Didn't you have yourself... You were hooked up to a heart rate monitor, weren't you?
I sure was.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
Did you actually finish it? I was just messing with you. Did you finish it?
No. No, I never finished it. No.
Do you ever plan on returning?
No. No, I don't. No.
You know what? I say we all vote for Omega to play Visage.
That's actually not a bad idea, but it's not going to work well for him because right now it's 2-1.
Oh, I can guarantee you everyone in our Discord that listens to this will be like, yes, Omega needs to play Visage now.
Actually, Derp, if you bring that up, they're going to yell at me because I still haven't finished it.
That is true. So both of you need to play it.
You know, to be fair, I don't have a problem with horror games. They just,
They just scare you?
You know. You know, I like horror movies. That's the weird thing. Like, I can't get enough horror movies, but horror games, that's just on a completely different level. And I mean,
you're immersing yourself into it.
I think about the fact that I've got freaking VR horror games on my PS4 wish list, and I'm just like, why did I do that?
Noting, I have done Resident Evil 7. We all know this. Resident Evil 7 in VR blind. I did not play Resident Evil 7 prior to playing it in VR because I wanted to play that completely immersed in it.
He streamed it too.
It was amazing.
Yep.
And then Paranormal Activity.
Which was also amazing because he got scared shitless both times. I have the clips to prove it.
Legitimately, I got scared so bad in that game once, I almost couldn't stand. Like, I had to sit down. My legs were shaking too bad to stand up.
What? You a Wang Max too? Yeah, you a Wang. Oh, shit! Fuck you! Oh, my God. Well, whew. Fuck you, asshole. Oh, fuck. I'm, like, actually kind of staggered.
That's some pretty wild, crazy stuff right there, yeah.
Absolutely. What, Omega, what's a horror game you played that really just did scare the bejesus out of you?
Outlast.
Yeah! I guess nothing's topping Outlast. That game is quite creepy.
I mean, I guess the only other horror game that I could think that scared the bejesus out of me would have been Friday the 13th on NES, but I mean, that's a completely different scare.
That is a scary game, yes, absolutely. Derp, what about you? What's the scariest game that ever just made you pee your pants?
Paranormal Activity, actually. Like, legitimately, that was a scary damn game on VR. Resident Evil 7, I could get through. There were a couple scenes, yeah, that I freaked out, but overall, I could get through it. But that was a cool experience. But Paranormal Activity, dude. There was so much crap in that game that, oh, no. No.
Yeah, maybe someday. Right now, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe some. I gotta own the game first. So that's part of the problem. I don't own these games, and I am not going to actively purchase these games.
You know, there's only two things that scare me,
and one is nuclear war.
What's the other?
Carnies,
circus folk, nomads. You know,
smell like cabbage.
Small hands.
There are two games that I can think of that still made me scream out loud and still scares the crap out of me, and that's PT, the Silent Hills demo.
Yep.
When I streamed that, I screamed so hard that you see me shaking and waving my hand in fright while after screaming. I'm holding the controller and I'm like this. No, 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 I don't want to look behind me. No way! No way! No fucking way! No fucking way! Oh my God!
Strange spell.
God fucking damn it! I'm okay! I'm okay! I'm okay! I'm okay!
There's one that didn't even make you scream. You just knocked your headset off and said, "What the fuck was that?"
Well, that was the best part of the whole thing of PT. You press pause, you think you're safe, you think you're fine. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna pause real quick, I'm gonna chat real quick. And out of nowhere, holy fuck. Holy fuck. What the fuck was that? Dude, still scares me. I was able to complete the demo, but that was a challenge. The only other game that made me scream that loud and that much that still scares me is Visage, and I still have to finish that. The immersion, man.
You're actually near the end of the second chapter.
Maybe I'll get back into it. We'll see. I will get back into it, but I think the one game I don't think I'll ever finish. I'm going to have to agree with Omega on this one, but I can't finish Outlast.
Too much grodiness for you?
No, the grodiness I can handle, but it's the anxiety-inducing moments where you're being chased and you have to hide. I spent like a good 15 minutes in the basement trying to run away from this guy and hide in a locker or hide under the bed.
That is the hardest part of the game right there. That is the most annoying part of the game other than the doctor.
As soon as I realized that I'm not going to be able to like make it past this guy, I had to basically stop the game and I had to find a way to calm myself down because it was like panic inducing.
I played both Outlasts.
You did, and I'm very proud of you. You're a braver man than I am.
Outlast 2 wasn't as bad as the first one, but I have my like theories on Outlast 2, and I've always liked anyone who completes Outlast 2. I like discussing the theories behind what was actually going on because it's one of those endings that'll leave you to your own understanding. It doesn't actually explain it.
So the only for me, the only chance that I see me ever finishing Outlast would be playing it on my Switch in handheld mode. There's just something different about playing a game in handheld mode. I think I would be able to play those just fine. Physical copies, by the way.
Because you could chuck the shit away from you. You could just move it the fuck away from you.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? You're on a tiny 5.5-inch screen, so fuck you.
Exactly, exactly. Well, that's one way to conquer your fears. Just make it tiny.
That's right.
Omega, what are you doing on your Sundays?
So Sundays is PS4 Sundays, and it is the longest running stream that I've been doing on Twitch since I started. The days have always changed around, but PS4 Sundays has always been there no matter what. And right now I'm on Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
Which I got to play the demo of at E3.
Not that anyone cares anymore.
Not that anyone cares. Everyone else has played it. Yeah.
I care.
Blue played it too.
I was standing right next to him.
But yeah, no, actually, I just I'm to the point in the game. We're picking up the plate separated, is where I am at right now. So the plate just separated, and that's exactly where I'll be picking up tomorrow.
How many hours did you put in so far?
So I think I'm at about 28, somewhere around there.
Nice, Derp. How many hours did you put in?
Six.
Terrible.
You need to get on that, man. I really want to I can't wait to talk to you guys about this game. I beat it and I love it. It's amazing. And I want more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited. I mean, I understand why they did what they did as well, as far as splitting this thing apart into all these games and everything. I mean, there's a lot of people giving it a lot of flack because of this. It's like, oh, it ends at this point. Why? That's not fair. We got to wait for it's like, what do you expect? That's the way I see it anyway, because of the way the games have changed over the years. You're not going to get the same game remastered and all in one package go. I mean, they added enough extra content, in my view, to hold people over. So,
yeah.
Well, not only that, too. I completely agree with what you said, but not only that. I mean, if they did make it one whole package, think of how much content they were going to be cutting, and they'd get even more flack for getting rid of content.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm very happy with what they did. And can't wait for more. I just want more Final Fantasy VII stuff.
I just hope it's not another 7 years down the road.
Well, you're not wrong about that.
But it's Square, so
I hope not either. Considering that they already have an engine built, they could just keep going, right?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, and it's a Final Fantasy 15 mm-hmm. engine, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a slightly different battle system from Final Fantasy 15. They kind of worked out some of the mechanics as far as...
Yeah, it's a better combat system overall, but it's about the same idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like when I played the demo at E3, I picked it up and it felt like I jumped right back into 15 again. I mean, it's been a very long time since I played Final Fantasy 15 for PS4 Sundays, but as soon as I picked up that controller and started going, it felt like I was picking up right where I left off. As far as the control is concerned. So yeah, it's absolutely the same.
Omega is also playing it in Japanese.
Yeah.
That is true. I do know that.
Apparently, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. But I mean, a lot of people will talk about the voice acting. And something that I've done, as far as PS4 Sundays is concerned, is all about playing PS4 exclusives, RPGs, VR, stuff like that. And I play a lot of RPGs. And if the option is there for Japanese, I take it. And it seems like everyone that I've been talking to who's played the game has been playing it in English, and I guess there's just not a lot of people playing it in Japanese. I don't know.
I'm playing mine in English, and that's mainly because I play everything in Japanese. English is actually the off brand for me.
That's very true.
That's fair.
That's very true. Derp is weeb extraordinaire.
Well, you gotta be honest. The voice acting in most American shit is not great when it's a JRPG.
I agree.
But, yeah, yeah.
I agree. It sounds foreign when it's in English.
Like, even other countries... I've watched videos on YouTube from other, like, people in other countries that say it has a American kind of voice acting, and I'm like, yeah. And they're not impressed by it. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm not the only person that thinks this, and I'm in America myself, and I can hear it.
So it's clear that when it comes to American voice acting for these games, it's not fantastic, but I do at the same time feel like that sometimes it maybe get a little unnecessary hate.
Yeah, yeah. No, there are some American, like, voice acting that's great.
Yeah.
And there's great American voice actors, and a lot of them can be named right off the top of your head. I mean, like, Troy Baker.
Nolan North. Roger Craig Smith.
I'm trying to think of one other dude's name. He does a lot of voices. He did voices in Guild Wars 2. He has a very deep, raspy voice most of the time, plays very bestial-type characters.
Oh, yeah, Mark Hamill.
Not Mark Hamill, but Mark Hamill does have a good voice acting voice.
Kevin Conroy.
Steve Bloom.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Steve Bloom. Yes, yes, yes.
Steve Bloom. I don't know why I blanked on his name, but yeah, Steve Bloom, like... There's a lot of great voice actors. Like, even Pete, the guy that does Pete from Goofy.
This ought to take care of you little runts. That's right, lunkheads. Pete's invincible.
He does a lot of voice acting, too.
Oh, that's right.
He does voice acting in Warcraft.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of great voice actors out there, but a lot of the ones that are picked for JRPGs and just lower grade titles in general don't have great voice actors. Aside from Hellblade. Hellblade got an award for it because of the voice actress for Senua. And that was her first time. She was untrained.
That's the beauty about this as well, is that the advantage of YouTube and whatnot nowadays, just these companies being able to find these people online. And they could be untrained. You just never know.
With technology, we're more connected than ever now. It's easier to find people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we attended that panel with voice actors at the Sacramento, I've been calling it Retro Games Expo. I'm pretty sure it was called something else. But we attended that panel. We attended that panel with the voice actors, and they're talking about how, you know, they could pretty much do this stuff from home, you know, get the right setup and everything like that. So
all you need is a microphone and a soundproof room. Hell, well, one of them was saying that, that if you need to record and have like an airtight, airproof sound, record in a closet.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Damn, that's awesome. That's genius.
I've done some voice recordings for some of our friends on Twitch, and whenever I do that, I sit in the game room closet. Yes.
You did it for Rain.
I did it for Rain, yes.
Because I could tell on one of her alerts that it was you. I'm like, hey, that's Omega. Yeah.
What was your alert? I missed it. I haven't heard it yet.
It is a follow alert, and it is me saying,
"Welcome to the Wolf's Den."
Bravo! Yep. Bravo!
Yep.
I love it.
Something like that.
I love it.
Though I gotta say, a lot of people on YouTube say that the mics you guys are using,
the Yetis, not to use them.
They can tell.
Yeah.
They can tell the difference.
Yeah, a lot that was the other thing as well that I've gotten from any kind of panel that I've attended is that they the first thing they say is to not use a Yeti.
Cuz they can tell the difference because of the bassy tone it gives out.
Yeah.
And the feedback.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. That's the main reason I swapped to the mic I have.
That's fair.
I have Omega's mic. He has mine.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. Because you do swap because of the coloring.
It was his idea. It was his idea. And I was like,
yeah.
All right, I just met this guy and he wants to swap microphones. Let's do this.
Hey, they both still work great.
Oh, they look fantastic. No,
that was literally it. Yes. I don't remember exactly how long it was that we knew each other for when it comes to online is concerned, but shortly thereafter we went and had pizza, saw Jurassic World, and then I said, "Hey, you want my mic?"
And I was like, all right.
Is this a euphemism for something?
what do I got to lose?
Like, your name is Blue. I've got a blue mic that seems to fit. Yeah. It's the same mic. Let's swap.
I'm curious because people talk about deep-throating mics all the time.
Which industry were you a part of, Derp? I'm trying to remember.
I'm a part of everyone's industry.
Is this why you swap microphones? Because this is giving you very bad memories? Is this triggering you?
No comment.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Sorry, you were caught in the middle between a marital feud between me and Derp. Sorry, Omega. Sorry you had to see that.
It's okay, you're still mine, bitch.
See, this is what happens when you're friends with somebody for over 20 years.
You know what? Blue left me, and he accepted an offer that he couldn't refuse, apparently. So, Omega, do you want to be my buddy?
Do I have to come back to Washington?
Why? Washington is great. Why do you sound so defeated about it?
Because it's going back to Washington.
I don't want to make that drive again.
I don't either. 13 hours, man.
I'll provide you with everything you need. You can leave everything at home. Nope, you would leave all your systems. Nope.
Yeah, let me just leave the game room in my entire world behind for the one and only GG Derptaku.
See, he said it here, folks.
Omega, I don't think Don's gonna appreciate that.
No, he would not. No, not in the least bit.
You know, he drove 2.5 hours to pick up a motherboard for me. He will drive a week to California to pick up that game collection before you're able to give it away.
He would drive a week to whoop Omega's ass and then take the game collection.
To be perfectly honest, I would agree with you, but in all fairness, he still has a box of my shit from the Air Force. Because the day that I found out I was leaving was very spur of the moment, so I literally ran back to the dormitory and said, I'm leaving. He said, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving. Could you take my shit for me? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'm still waiting for it.
He's got a hold on you, man. He's got a hold on you. You are never, he's like, you're never allowed to leave.
He's like, sorry, you're not leaving me until we're back together again forever.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, good.
11 years ago.
Oh, wow. So no, it's safely nestled next to him on his bed.
I miss my rollerblades, damn it.
Oh my God, you're a rollerblader, huh? Me too. Me too, all the time.
Like a decade ago.
No, it was great. It was great. There was a couple years ago when I went home for Christmas and we all went to the roller rink, and this particular roller rink also had blades. Yeah. And I was like, yes, give me the blades. And my stepmom started cracking up. She's like, oh, this is going to be good. And they didn't realize it. I literally go out on the rink and I'm like skating backwards and going, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
I used to rollerblade from like ages like 11 to like 18. I did it for a long time. The problem was, I even tried rollerblading about like 5 years ago, but my brake finally, like the rubber finally rubbed off and to the point where you can't brake anymore. And I couldn't find anybody in town who sold brakes for blades, and online wasn't helpful either. So I haven't bladed since.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was about that same age as well, when I was like 11 or 12, I literally wore my rollerblades in the house. I wore them every day. Like, I loved my rollerblades, absolutely.
Slippers? Fuck slippers. I'm going down the stairs to the blades, Mom.
I got pretty good about going down the stairs in my blades.
Dedication, man. I like it.
Adaptation. We all adapt.
Absolutely.
Improve, adapt, survive.
Of course, then I'd blade down to the penny candy store, and they'd tell me to get out because I'd mark up the floor, so...
Oh, I got yelled at a Jack in the Box for the same thing.
Good job. Well, you two are all American heroes.
Yep.
And for those of you that are younger, a penny candy store is a store that you'd go to and spend one penny on a single piece of candy.
A whole stroppenny?
A whole stroppenny?
Oh, yeah.
Penny candy.
I could get one single warhead for a penny.
Oh, now it's penny dreadful. You buying warheads with that? Those are the good old days, man. Warheads.
Yeah.
You used to take like five of them and put them in your mouth at the same time, and then your whole mouth explodes.
Yeah. There's nothing that says childhood more for me than bundling up with my NES, getting ready to play some Zelda, shoving a bunch of warheads in my mouth, and letting it just completely bleed.
It's not wrong.
My mouth started hurting as I was saying that. Like, I can feel the sour, like, and I'm not even eating it.
You like, just triggered. Your body has memories, and it does not like what you are describing.
It's just an invasion of the body snatcher sound.
Oh, God. I did the same thing with Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids are the same, yep.
Whole bag. Just put about as much as you can in your mouth.
Here's a really disgusting one from my childhood. They had Warhead's toothpaste.
Oh, I think I missed that boat. Holy
think
crap.
About that for a second. Absolutely. That stuff was disgusting.
Does it clean your teeth or does it degrade them in an instant?
It was sour toothpaste. Like, it was awful. And it got you to do the 2 minutes because it said on the back, it's like, oh, you know, the longer you go, you know, the better, the longer you go, you'll show how much of a man you are because you're beating the sour and you got to last the 2 minutes.
Like, I'm picturing right now is this very old early 90s Mike Myers Saturday Night Live skit.
Headley and Weich, the British toothpaste. You don't have to brush your teeth every week, but you just might want to.
Headley and Weich, for a smile that says, yum, that was good.
Headley and Weich, the British toothpaste, and they're all smiling, and they have the most fucked up British teeth ever, and this was before Austin Powers, and you know exactly where Austin Powers got his teeth from, was from that skit.
Not only do I use it to brush my teeth, it tastes great on a cracker.
Don't worry, Zero, we're not calling you out.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's
Headley and Weich.
The British toothpaste.
God, I forgot about that one.
So do you have current plans for your next game on the Sundays once you beat Final Fantasy? Since I think you're getting pretty close considering the time you've put in.
I started thinking about it, and I was told that, you know, I may think that I'm getting closer at this point, but I still have a ways to go, which is fine. That's cool. But I did start thinking about that, and I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what I'm going to do next because I honestly wasn't prepared to go, quite frankly, this quick. Like, it hasn't been quick, but to be perfectly honest, when I compare this game to something like, say, Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet, this game is going very fast. That game went very slow. I'd be like playing Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet, and I would look, I mean, you know, oh boy, oh, yeah, whoa, wow. Get a lot done here. What time is it right now? I've been streaming for 30 fucking minutes. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. I have 3.5 hours to go. I don't hate the game.
I admire your dedication, sir, on wanting to complete a game that you cannot stand to go through.
I didn't hate it. I just have a mere mild dislike for it.
You still haven't finished it yet, right?
I have not finished it. No. And because I stopped playing it because for once I had the opportunity to play a game on time with Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I have no intention on returning to it either.
And that's okay. Based on your review, I'm not going to play it.
No, it's not as good as the other Sword Art games, to be perfectly honest.
Lycosis is coming out next month, I think. Mm-hmm. Or it was pushed back an extra month. I can't remember.
Oh, actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I do have a game. Hang on, let me see. I think I got this from E3. I don't remember when I got this, but The Lost Child.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with this 100%, but yeah, this is, I don't know. This seems interesting to me, so I wanted to go ahead and give this one a shot.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah. I honestly don't know anything about it.
Yet you picked it up.
Yes, I did.
What prompted you to what enticed you to pick it up?
Day drinking at E3.
That's exactly what I wanted you to say. That's the story I was hoping for.
Okay, so do you want to know what kind of game it is?
Yeah, sure. It looks like some kind of a strategy game.
It is a dungeon crawler, first person, where you have a group of party members that you go through the dungeons and you hit event points, and that does the event points, but you are going through a dungeon fighting like Dragon Warrior.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So it's a first person dungeon crawler. Have you ever heard of Legend of Grimrock?
Yes.
Okay, same idea, yes. But it goes into fighting sequences like Dragon Warrior would, the original.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun. So that's probably going to be the next game. Yeah.
I like the art. The art style is pretty decent.
Yeah, well, no, that's probably one of the reasons why I saw, like, honestly, this seems like the kind of game where they would have been either playing up on a screen or what have you, and I was just maybe... just looking at the cover, it probably got me by the art style.
Yeah, here.
And some games have that capability. Yep, this is it. Yep.
But I have a couple games like this. One's on my Vita, and it's called Demon Gaze, and it has the same idea. There's one that the Danganronpa team made called Zonky Zero. It is like this too.
Yeah, this looks like fun.
Trying to think. There's another one that Mary Skelter. That's a basis on a bunch of the old fable princesses and stuff like that as anime waifus.
I'm fine with that.
Mary Skelter is actually kind of neat. I really love the art style in it. So, you, over there, to my left. You.
Yes.
You.
Yes. What's up?
What games are you looking forward to? And what you got planned after Shenmue?
Yeah, I am currently playing Shenmue 2. I'm considering where I'm at, I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to beat it tomorrow. I'm far in the game. I'm in the mountains, and I'm unlocking secrets, and I think I might be able to beat it in one more stream. And I've actually...
You might be done a lot sooner than you think.
You think so?
I'm going to be honest. If I remember the game correctly and you're in the mountains, you might want to plan to have something as backup tomorrow.
Really?
I can't remember fully because it's been so long for me, but if you're in the mountains, I feel like that was a near the end thing.
Well, then I appreciate you on that one. I'm probably going to play poker then.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Night at the Inventory, brother.
Poker at the Inventory is amazing. I love those games so much. I could play those for hours and time will just fly by. But here's what I've been planning. Generally speaking, last year in the summertime, I did my water graphics gaming event called Summer of Sploosh. Well, summer's about to hit very soon. It's next month, and like officially summer starts in like, what, middle of June?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much planning for my next summer event, and I'm planning on Summer of Sequels. We've played so many games since I've been streaming the last 3 years that I think it's time to visit some of the games that have sequels that I haven't tried yet. For example, we played Dino Crisis 1. I haven't streamed Dino Crisis 2 yet. We streamed Halo 1 and 2. I haven't done 3 yet. Stuff like that. So I was thinking about planning a list of games that I know I need to touch and maybe put it to a vote and see what kind of games people want me to play. However, that being said, Dirt, to answer your question, since I found two very, very hard to find, very rare role-playing games on the original PlayStation, you got upset when you found out I never played them before.
I did get upset.
I bought Parasite Eve and Parasite Eve 2 at one of my favorite gaming stores here in Sacramento, and I got excited because, one, you could find them. It was available. They were in perfect condition. And I got them both at what I would consider a really good deal. They're both great prices. So I bought them, and I was excited to tell you, but then you got mad because you realized I've never actually played it.
I didn't realize you had. I thought you had played them.
The last time I saw those games, you owned them. You've shown me Parasite Eve 1, but I never played it, and I wasn't into role-playing games as much as I am today. Not back then. Not when we were still kids. But now I'm into that, and you kept describing it as Square's role-playing survival horror Resident Evil-type adventure. And I'm like, I gotta get on that.
Yep.
I just found these games out of nowhere. I gotta get on that, and I ended up buying both. And I'm excited. I'm really excited to play those. So I'm going to try to slip in Parasite Eve somewhere either before my summer event or somewhere in the middle. We'll see.
That's pretty much if Resident Evil had sex with Final Fantasy and that was the child that was born.
Kinky.
You know, to your point, I can't help but agree. Like, I mean, I was the same way. I wasn't huge into RPGs when I was younger either. So, I mean, I can't help but wonder how many gamers out there are like that, where maybe the RPG didn't appeal to them back then, but now there's just a greater appreciation for it.
Because they're much simpler and straightforward, in the most part.
I could see that.
And a lot more cinematic now.
And it doesn't require, like, quick actions or things like that. Like, you can relax and enjoy your time while playing it, for the most part.
I could see that.
I grew up on platformers most of my life, and the next thing you know, when the first time I saw Super Mario RPG, I'm like, I don't understand why I can't move. Why are my characters stuck on the ground? What do you mean I gotta press A to use a hammer?
Yeah.
Wait, I have to time it? What does that mean? I was so confused. I was what? This was 1995? 1996? When did that game come out?
That's about right. Yeah, mid-90s. I want to say 96.
Wait, Omega, you were playing Legend of Dragoon like a week or two ago, right?
Yes.
Have you ever played that before?
No.
Were you going to continue it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a four-disc game. How could I not continue it?
It's a great game. I love that game.
No, my school semester ended, so there's going to be more days added to my week. And granted, I like to have my days themed as a variety streamer, mm-hmm. but there's really no structure to it at this point. I don't really know what I'm going to be doing over the summer, to be perfectly honest.
And did you ever play Parasite Eve?
No.
I think you need to enjoy it with Blue.
No. When I was, well, because that's a PlayStation 1 game as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my thing when I was growing up, I was, I guess you could say that I was, especially in my early teens, I was definitely a hardcore Nintendo fanboy, but like I just never had that exposure to those Sony consoles at the time. Like it wasn't, I honestly, the Game Gear was the first time that I owned a gaming system that wasn't Nintendo. And honestly, I didn't own a non-Nintendo console until probably about 2009 when I got a Sega Genesis. It was in 2009. I didn't get a PS3 until 2011. I didn't own my first Xbox until 2013.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, I missed out on a lot. Yeah.
Well, it's because of Derptaku that I was exposed to a lot of these systems, including the PlayStation, and why I have an appreciation for them now. I did just look up Super Mario RPG came out in 1996, so I was about 12 years old, and I was still a huge platformer back then, playing games like Super Metroid and Mario World and you name it, Legend of Zelda. Role-playing games was such a new concept for me that I didn't understand it, and it took me a long time to get into. But now that I'm into them, I'm going back to games that I missed out on. And Parasite Eve was one of those games that I know you loved, and you pounded in my head for a long time saying, you gotta check this out. I'm finally gonna do that, and I'm excited.
This is like a new record. This took 15 years, guys.
Yeah, usually it's a 5-year shelf life before I actually play a game that Derp tells me to play.
Yeah.
15, this is a little bigger.
So here's what I have. Blue, you need to play Parasite Eve 1
and
get that done.
Okay.
By the time you're done with that, he'll have Legend of Dragoon done, and then you'll have to pass Parasite Eve to him, and he'll have to play that next on his retro.
We'll just start swapping games. I like this. Everybody wins.
Well, because when you're going to be playing on your Sunday, he's going to be streaming his PS4.
That's true.
Because you guys stream at the same time, so he won't be able to play with you on Parasite Eve to get the story. So... I say you just pass it down the line.
Take one down, pass it around. Hey, speaking of video games and working together, Omega and I were still planning on doing a Donkey Kong Country 2 stream at some point. We've been discussing.
I was just about to say, plus the summer of sequels is going to kind of spill over into childhood gaming when Blue rejoins Omega for Donkey Kong Country 2. So,
we were scheduled to do that in March, but then COVID-19 happened.
That's right. We were supposed to do it months ago. Yep.
Yeah. Last year, around March, we played Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD 2-player co-op. It is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is possible, absolutely. You talk about, see, this is the beauty of what I do online. I don't like to emulate. So I 100%, we hooked up a GameCube to the Wii. The Wii acted as a GameCube. The GameCube acted as a Game Boy Advance. Both systems received capture cards, and we did it. Legit, 100%.
Good job.
He was Link, I was Tingle. I was the Tingle Tuner. which is why I bought this for myself. I have my own little Tingle plush Tingle Fairy doll that I have on my gaming shelf, and it's a reminder that I was the Tingle Tuner, and we played on stream, legit, no emulation. 2-player co-op.
Yeah, right. That's just there to sit there as a reminder that you bombed me out of my fucking boat, you asshole.
Let's backtrack. Let's backtrack.
You just blew up my crate!
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't even know you could do that. It was worth it, too. Hashtag worth.
Now, I got to admit, the best part of that was using the Tingle Tuner to deliver me a green ting and refill my magic meter in mid-flight with the Deku Leaf. That was glorious.
That was awesome. There was another one, too, where it can help you go. You were trying to go from one platform to another. Is that what we were using for the green ting? Because your magic meter is going down and it helped you float from one area to the other?
It sure did, yeah.
We did that a few times, and it got you to a couple of good spots.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, it's not meant to do that, because you can play the game without the Tingle Tuner, so it was just me fucking up and not remembering how to do it. So we did it a brand new way.
Well, it worked out, though. See, that's the thing. You can play the game however you want, but when you play two players, anything goes. Especially when I'm bombing your boat, accidentally and on purpose.
Not only doing that, but wasting my hard-earned rupees in the process.
Oh, yeah. Every bomb costs you rupees. I forgot about that. Hey, you got everyone to learn. You learn. You play and you learn. and then you apologize for it later.
Or you play and you don't care and you just make the other player's life a living hell.
Hey, we were streaming. I was entertaining at its best.
It really was. Some of my best clips came from that. Absolutely.
It did. I even put together a little mini compilation for you and say, hey, go to this guy's channel.
Oh my god. It was so much fun.
So yeah, we're looking to stream Donkey Kong Country 2. Because this time
it will be cooperative, not competitive.
Right, because we played Donkey Kong Country 1 and it was competitive.
It was, yes.
Guess who won? It wasn't me.
Omega.
The people won. The people won.
Yes, the people won. Absolutely. It was
But really it was Omega.
Yes. No, his platforming skills are amazing.
That was hard. That was still hard. Some of the levels I get flashbacks to my childhood. I'm just like, I was stuck on that level for months. It was just ridiculous. So, I mean, you know, that sort of thing. I'm already thinking about Donkey Kong Country 2 for when we do that. And I know there's two or three levels sticking out in my mind there where I'm just like, good Lord.
The sticker brush.
Yes.
great song, but the levels, all those mm-hmm. barrels, the bird.
Oh yeah. The bird.
After and everything after the carnival is hard.
Fun fact, the sticker brush levels in Donkey Kong Country 2 were in fact supposed to be water levels.
Oh.
But they made them flying levels instead.
I'm okay. I like the change.
Think about how you control the bird in Donkey Kong Country 2. Think about how the characters move when you swim.
One has a bird, one doesn't.
What about you, Gigi? What are you planning on in the future?
The future?
I'm becoming a big D&D nerd in the future.
I dig it!
Pretty much, yeah, that's gonna be about it. I'm gonna have my library streams, of course, because that's kind of what I do. Mm. And people get enjoyment out of that because they get to see a lot of different shit that they wouldn't ever see themselves.
I love the crap out of it. What in the world was that game that I made you play? I honestly went to your list and I scrolled down really fast and I'm like, that one. Like, wasn't it some kind of truck game or car game or something like that?
Snuggle Truck,
yeah, I think that's what it was.
It's a 2D. You're a truck, and you go down a map that's just 2D, and then you hit bumps, and you have to keep all of the plushy toys in the pickup part of the truck. That's the game. That's the entire game. And it's got a bunch of different levels with it's a blast. I've played it before.
I didn't know what it was. I did. I literally scrolled down really fast and said, "Do that one." I'm sure there are people who will look through your games library, which I gotta say is very respectful. Not the same as having physical copies, but very respectful. And I'm sure there are people who put a little bit of thought into it. But for me, no. I just, you know, whatever the first thing I read is, there it is. Done.
Yeah. Well, at least I don't need to blow my shit to get it to work.
Actually, he has a rule, and he doesn't blow them.
Damn right. This is a public service message from Omega Apex 128 telling you to take care of your retro games. And if I see you blowing your cartridge, I will fucking beat you over the head with a Game Gear. Because it's an even worse brick than the original Game Boy.
Stop that!
What you just heard was the sound of Blue blowing in a Super NES cartridge and then Omega losing his shit. So what do you use, like a Q-tip and then just run it along the inside?
So I have a little IPA, which is isopropyl alcohol dispenser. It is 97% alcohol. And yes, I dispense a roughly 2 cc's of the IPA onto a Q-tip. I let it dry a little bit. You don't want to get extra moisture in there. That's bad. You don't want extra moisture in your cartridge now. And you just clean it. Done.
So when you were doing your public service announcement, I'm like, oh, wow, there's a cartridge sitting right here. Let me see if I can trigger him.
You know, I was more focused on saying what I was saying. I didn't even realize what you were doing until I looked up.
I love it.
See, that just goes to show my passion for this crap because I completely block out everything around me. You know, I start talking about this stuff. I'm done. I'm gone.
And that's okay. That's okay. Actually, Omega, real talk though, because of your passion for video games and your passion for not only taking care of them, but also keeping them nice, neat, clean, and organized, it is because of you that my own personal gaming collection has grown 150 times more than I ever thought possible. I have more video games than I ever imagined I could ever own. And I had a lot before I met you, but yeah, it quadrupled since I met you. And oh my God, it's glorious.
Like, I'm not an elitist collector where I'm like, you know,
I'm not either, but you make this fun, man. Your passion's got me inspired, and I wanted to jump on the wagon too. And I see exactly why, when I started collecting these games, I started to understand why you collect these games. I'm not picking random ones. I'm picking ones I either want to A, play, or ones that I played when I was a kid that I don't have anymore. So thank you. Oh, yeah. I appreciate you.
No, I mean, I that's just how I am. And when I say that, I mean, I do mean, like, you know, there are these people who do the collections and look down doo-doo upon people who emulate.
I said doo-doo.
There are people who do these collections and look down on people who emulate. And I'm just like, you know, if emulation is your thing, fine. I don't care. Like, the Wii is the most versatile console out there. You could play Wii games. You could play GameCube. Mine's hacked, so I can play NES, SNES, Genesis, Game Boy. I love that. But given the opportunity, I would just much rather play it on the original console. I don't know. That's just the way I am, I guess.
Well, I ran into some issues when I was streaming a couple years ago, and I was using an emulator. I was trying to play the first Onimusha, and we all know who's ever emulated a game before. Some of them work perfectly, and some of them don't. And when I was playing Onimusha, no more than 15 minutes in the game, I got to a point where the game was basically bricked at that point. In the game, it's like Resident Evil. You turn a corner and it's a different camera angle. You turn a corner, it's a different camera angle. Well, I got into a room full of demons, and all of a sudden, the camera angles wouldn't change anymore. It wouldn't let me find where the door was at, and then it was just nothing but demons just like respawning and respawning. And they, once you defeat them, the door's supposed to unlock, the camera angle's supposed to change, and it never did. And that's when I realized, like, A, I'm streaming, people are watching me play this. C, now it's a broken game, and now I don't know what to do with my life, and I don't know how to entertain people, because now I'm playing a brick. So I'd rather play the real deal, that way I know that there's at least a guarantee that the game will work.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. The only thing you'd really have to worry about is corrosion on a cartridge or scratches on a disc. Very or true. Anything like that. Scratches on a disc can fortunately be fixed.
Or dead batteries.
Yeah, dead batteries.
Or Nintendo DS games that were apparently chewed on, because I don't know what the hell happened to those gold contacts. I mean,
Oh my God. I bought Final Fantasy Ring of Fates on the Nintendo DS at a gaming convention that had full of gaming vendors, and I popped it in the DS when I got home, and it didn't work. And then when I looked at the cartridge itself, the gold contacts were actually, they looked like they were corroded. They look like they were chipped away, or like somebody chewed on them. And then it made me realize that the next time I buy a game, I need to make sure that the game cartridge looks like it's supposed to. Thank God for Omega Apex, though, because he took the cartridge and he put it underneath a microscope to look at it to see if he could fix it. Unfortunately, he couldn't, but he took that extra step to actually look at the game itself, and it was horrible. Yeah. But the good news is I was able to find another copy of the game when we went to E3.
That's true.
We stopped by a video game shop, a retro game shop called World 8, and it just happened to be sitting there without a case by itself, and I ended up buying it because I still had the case from the one I bought from the gaming convention in Sacramento. Yep. So I bought that, and it all worked out. But goddamn, when you buy stuff, make sure that everything looks copacetic.
Well, and that's a big problem with retro gaming nowadays, from a collector's perspective. It's still very fun to go out and hunt. And you can find, if you're struggling to find a game, you can get onto eBay and find these retro games no problem. But one of the big problems that is happening nowadays, unfortunately, is counterfeiting. So one of the big problems, you know, that you would want to run into, like, if you were trying to get an uncommon game, or even a rare game for that matter. Like, we could say Dragon Warrior 4 on the NES. It's very uncommon. It's expensive. Yeah. It's like a $90 game. So the Famicom versions of these games are much cheaper. So what will happen is, for more detail, a lot of the black box games, the first 30 games that came out on the Nintendo Entertainment System, they had the Famicom cartridges inside the NES cartridges, and there was an adapter on the inside that changged it from the 60 pin to the 72 pins. Will do is they will get these adapters and put the Famicom version of the game inside a shell, and maybe print up a false label or what have you, and try to sell this game that's $90 for, and you know, they maybe spent $20 on it. And so they sell these counterfeit games, try the real thing. So you have to be like, okay, open up the cartridge. No, I can't do that right now. Okay, fuck you. You have a counterfeit, you asshole.
There's also stuff. I heard a story from somebody at one of the game shops recently. Somebody bought Earthbound on Super Nintendo, but it turns out that it was actually a counterfeit version also. They actually had a memory card with the ROM inside of it, and you're somehow able to read it in a Super Nintendo, but when you get to the last boss, it immediately says the game's pirated. And that was a thing back then, where they knew it was pirated. But a gaming shop sold this unknowingly, that this thing was actually a pirated copy of Earthbound, and that's one of the most expensive games out there as well. And it's very sad when that happens, because now you can't enjoy the game and you just lost a lot of money.
Well, and you know, it's not just cartridges either, because a lot of early CD-based consoles, whether it's the Sega CD, the CDI, the 3DO, even up to the Dreamcast, a lot of those early CD-based consoles, you can simply burn an ISO onto any old disc, and it will play just fine. So it's getting worse. And that's
I did hear about that for the Dreamcast.
It really takes the fun out of it. Now I have done this because there was a game that came out on Dreamcast. Well, no, it didn't come out actually. There was a game that's actually a lot of fun. It was scheduled for release in September of 2001. And that should say it all. I think the game was called Air Arena, if I'm not mistaken, or Arena Strike. It was something like that. And one of the stages was Skyscraper City, and the timing could not have been worse. So this perfect game, which is, like I said, just a ton of fun to play, I think there was even going to be online support for it, got pulled at the last second. So the ISO eventually leaked online, and so I burned it and was able to play it on my Dreamcast, and that's great. Am I going to try to turn around and sell it and be like, look at this, here's Air Arena, or Arena Raid, whatever the damn name is, and, you know, it wasn't released, but I happen to have a copy. No, why would I do that? That's terrible. Nobody should do that.
You're stupid.
Exactly.
You're stupid.
Stupid.
Hey, guys, speaking of Dragon Warrior 4... Now, I know this one's actually legit because this was my grandmother's.
There you go.
Damn.
I inherited these, a lot of her role-playing games after she passed away. But I'm like, Dragon Warrior 4, I've got that. And I'm looking at, no, we're good. This is legit.
That's legit. Now, there was a game shop in Lacey, Washington. He opened up his game shop about 3 months before I moved there. And it got to the point where he would call me up anytime there was something uncommon in. And
that's
he basically
cool.
gave me that option. So Dragon Warrior 4 showed up there at the toy box in Lacey. So it just got to be that relationship. So, I mean, you know, a month after I moved there, I was driving around Olympia and I just happened to see the store. So I stop in, and that same day I bought the 3DO. That's when I got the 3DO. So
there's something about not just collecting retro games. And that's the other thing that you also taught me, Omega. It's the people you meet. It's the relationships you build. It's it's the experience. It's the thrill of the hunt. All of those things.
Exactly.
Basically is what it encompasses all of retro gaming, which is why I love collecting them now more than I used to, because then I'll know that I got this game, and I'll remember when I got it, who I was talking to, and what a great time we had. And then you play the game and you enjoy it.
Exactly.
I love all of that.
And each game has its story. DuckTales 2 always sticks out in my mind, because when I got DuckTales 2, there was somebody else in the shop at the same time, and he's like, you're not going to play that, are you? I'm like, of course I'm going to play it. It's DuckTales 2.
Isn't that like a $200 game?
Exactly. So he's like, you need to put that on a shelf or in a case or something like that. I'm like, I'll tell you what case it's going in. It's going in my NES case. I'm going to play the damn thing.
Yeah, no, I gotta play games. I don't buy them just to collect them. I need to play them and experience them. Besides, you also need to know that they're not counterfeit either, right?
I don't know how that tangent happened, but I was saying something, all of a sudden it went on to a retro tangent and physical copies.
No, don't apologize. See, this is unscripted, this is not planned, and we're just rolling with it. And if there's anything that we're all passionate about, it's video games, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny, like, I have no idea what happened, it just went... Derp. Away we go!
Derp, you wanted this. This is your fault.
I did, I know. That's how it usually happens. I'm like... You guys, you need to do this. We need to do this.
Actually, when we started doing the podcast, this is kind of what happened. We have it structured. We're going to follow these topics. But then all of a sudden, we'll say something that'll trigger us. It's like, oh, we're over here now. And then we basically spoke for like another extra 30 to 40 minutes. Oh, let's get back on topic. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah. But that's also what's been challenging, because we had like three topics going, and then I end up having like 3 hours of things to edit. Now we've gone to 2-1 topics. I still have 3 hours of stuff to edit. And I love it. The more stuff we get, the better. So if anything, I love where this is going.
This is how my brain functions, sadly, and retro gaming is my bread and butter, kind of. So, I mean, I do my modern gaming, that's for darn sure, but if there was one console that I collect for religiously for some strange odd reason, it's the Switch. The one and only console that I bought on launch day.
How many games do you have physically?
Physically, I have about 70 Switch games.
Nice.
Physically.
That's impressive.
I have like 10.
Yeah. 150 of them are digital. So,
you know. You got a big hard drive, right? A memory card?
Yeah, yeah, big memory card. Well, excellent. Plus, I'll take advantage of limited run games deals. So you saw the Golf Story copy that I have.
Yes.
I have, you know, I've got Outlast and Outlast 2 physical. You know, just a lot of games that you can't. My thing with the Switch is that if I can get a game physical, I will. To the point where one of the first RPGs that came out on the Switch was I Am Setsuna. And I believe it's a Square game. It's a great RPG. We didn't get it. It's digital only in America. So what did I do? I imported it from Japan.
Yeah, it's Square Enix Collective, I think. It's not actually a Square game. It's one of their collective games.
Right.
Still, though, that's awesome. That's dedication.
So, yeah, if I can get the game physically on the Switch, I will. That's not dedication. That's obsession.
Yeah.
So on the whole peddling topic earlier, on the fact of me saying things and it just happens.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about rollerblades, I believe.
We were talking about D&D. He was also talking about D&D.
D&D, oh, yeah.
But no, I recently peddled Smite to a bunch of people.
You did. Smite is a game that you played for a long time. Derp started getting back into it, and you got a few people to play with you, and you guys were having a blast.
Well, let's see. I got Zero to play it.
I downloaded it.
I got Adana. Yeah, I know. I got Adana to play it. And then all of a sudden, Dawn started playing it, and Elle's playing it now. But Dawn streamed it yesterday, Friday.
Actually, Dawn even mentioned you in his Discord about that game.
Yep. Yep. And then also got Kel and Greg to play it with him that day, along with Zero.
That's awesome.
And then Dawn was up at like 1 in the morning his time, looking at skins in the game.
Dirt, for a lot of people who are listening, can you describe what Smite actually is?
Smite is a behind-the-back, third-person MOBA, essentially. It's an action-based game of a MOBA where you actually have to aim your shots and your skills, rather than where in League it's you target somebody and it auto-hits if you're in range type thing.
Oh, okay.
And it's all 3D and, like I said, behind the back rather than over the top. So it's more action-based than it is tactical.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and now Omega has downloaded, as he said.
Omega, have you played it yet?
Not yet. I'm refraining from, to be honest, I'm refraining from doing it online because similar to League, it's going to be a game that I either love or hate.
Which you will want to play at least a tutorial.
Yeah.
Because there is a tutorial thing where it shows you the basics of it in the combat base. But you can also do bot matches and it will just place you in a, you can go easy bots, bot match, and everyone, even if you don't know how to play, everyone else will decimate whatever's there.
It's got Teemo, right? We got Teemo.
There's probably an equal to a Teemo in there somewhere, but I can't think of who. Maybe Ratatasker.
As long as it's an asshole, that's all that matters.
Ratatasker's an asshole.
Asshole that everybody hates, you know.
But also, yeah, I'm becoming a big D&D nerd again. I was long while back, but I haven't really had a chance to do anything with it or play anymore. So this last Thursday, I played D&D with R and his group.
Nice. How'd that go?
R is the greatest voice for D&D in the history of anything.
Yes, he has a good voice for it. He does a great orc, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Seriously, he great really orc. Does. It is amazing. Insanely good. So my intro for my character, his name is Dom Derpley. Of course, he, much like me, has an insatiable love for boobs and has a very high charisma to get said boobs. His name is Dom Durpley, and he is, you can call him Double D if you like. It's the way he likes him.
It's clever. It's clever.
But what's funny is I didn't even think that through. I just started saying, I'm like, oh my God, I can make something out of this. So that's that. But I am also obviously making my tabletop, but that's been taking a small break for the past week.
I was going to ask how that was going.
So we took I'm taking a small break on Glitchrix, but I'm going to work on it a little bit during my days off this week. And I also put in a note that I wanted to do an actual tabletop with some people, which I placed the channels in our Discord, which I'm sure you noticed. Just out of nowhere. But I'm going to be doing Monster of the Week, which is the basis of it is the fact that cryptids, which if you don't know what a cryptid is something like Bigfoot or a Wendigo or the Rake or, you know, just things of the unnatural or supernatural nature that is a humanoid being or something, a monster, and they just exist in the present world. And then you run it's narrative-based, so you do a lot of improv, and the DM does a lot of improv deciding of where things go as you do things and say what you want to do.
Okay.
It's very improv based and just fully narrative. There is dice rolling involved, and that's kind of what decides what happens next. It's interesting.
Improv.
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 That's awesome, Derp.
That's all I got for that.
Derp's got plans, and it's awesome. I like it.
That's good stuff.
I don't know. And the more I do it, it's like making me want a story write. It's weird.
That's understandable. It's amazing how things can trigger you like that.
Yeah, because it was funny when I mentioned it, yeah, and people said they wanted to play, and I'm like, okay, well, here's the sheets. Here's the type of classes, one per person. Then if you can, give me a backstory on that character so I can make a story off of it and use narrative. And everyone was like Zero even wrote me a small like page or like couple paragraphs worth of stuff for his character. And he doesn't write, but he wrote me a good little couple paragraphs. And Donna wrote me 7 pages.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Look what you're doing,
and
Derp.
And she still wasn't done.
Derp, what you're doing is you're bringing the community together, you're rallying them, and you're inspiring them. So if there's anything that you're doing well, it is for the good of the community. And I applaud you.
The greater good.
Yeah,
the
see, one good. Thing leads to another,
the
and then they'll
good.
Tell 2 friends.
And they tell 2 friends, and they tell their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
You know how these things go.
And so on.
You know, I've got a question for you guys. What do you think about Twitch and all of its new recent changes?
Okay, I do want to say one thing about Twitch. I do not like the new setup. I do not like the... I can't just click clips. I have to go in the videos, and when you're actually... When the stream's actually running, you can't find shit.
No, you can't. You really can't.
It's actually true. I immediately tried to go to the clips section, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
You know, the other day, I was in a call with Cogsy Waffles and somebody else. I don't remember who else was in the call there, but we were talking about who our first followers were.
Oh, cool.
And I went to go to my followers page to see, because they're all in order, and I could not find the damn followers page. Like, how do I get to my followers now? I can't find it. And honestly, I couldn't tell you how I found it now, just sitting here thinking about it. So I agree.
What I do like about the new layout, though, when you go to somebody's page and they're not streaming, they'll show you the last 3 broadcasts that you did. On the left, they'll have links to your Discord, Twitter, Facebook, website, whatever links you add there. And they also now give you an option for a Twitch channel trailer to show people what your channel's all about. So if it's my first time visiting your page, I can click that, watch it. It has to be under a minute. It's really cool just to get like a highlight of what that's all about. And that's a positive out of this change that I like.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I also notice when you're not streaming at all and you're not hosting anybody. Actually, I think it is the same. You're hosting something. If you're hosting somebody, it'll still be in that same box where your channel trailers and previous broadcasts are. But underneath, it'll show your previous broadcasts instead of your regular Twitch panels.
Yes.
Your Twitch panels aren't there anymore. And it'll actually show you the gaming categories of the games that you stream recently, too. So it'll give your viewers an idea of what kind of games you're into within a minute of just visiting your channel. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's just I wish you could find your ship more easily when the stream's going.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because they do not give you that ability.
Now, from a moderator perspective, I like the mod dashboard. I know a lot of people don't because they think it's too busy, is what I hear a lot of people say, but I like the mod dashboard personally.
I do find it is a little busy, but then you're able to customize it, though. That's what's also beautiful about it. And once I customize it to my liking, I actually enjoy it. It's different, and I think people just will have to get used to it, but once they get past that hurdle, it's not going to be that bad.
Nah.
You know, me and a few other fellow mods for Citric have said that the only thing that we wish we could add to the moderator page would be a mod-exclusive chat.
Yeah.
Like, if we had, like, the regular chat, and then there would be, like, a separate chat window for, like, just the four of us.
That's actually a great idea. What I'm noticing other channels doing, including our friend Dream Warrior, a lot of the moderators have their own special chat in Discord that they'll hang out while his stream is going, so that way they're together. But that's also challenging because you have to pay attention to what chat's saying in your actual channel and then what we're saying in the Discord chat.
Yeah, Citric Acid has the same thing, and I tend to not pay as much attention to the Discord chat when we're active because, especially recently, we've had some troll problems, so yeah.
Yeah. I do like that Twitch is adding more moderating tools and making it a lot easier to be more helpful so the streamer can just worry about playing the game versus worrying about chat. And I'm glad Twitch is doing something about that, you know, giving us those options and abilities. So and because this is new tools that they're implementing, it's only going to be a matter of time before they tweak it and change things up. But you can leave moderator view at any time. And I've been finding myself leaving and going back in when necessary.
Same.
So I do like that feature too.
Another public service message from moderator Omega Apex 128. If you act one way in one channel and then act like an asshole in another, you never know who's watching.
You're probably going to get banned on every channel I see you in.
Yeah.
This has been another public service announcement from Omega Apex 128.
Like, if your guys are nice to me, but then you're a dick to Derp, and then I see you on Omega's channel and you're a complete ass, you're gone everywhere.
Exactly. No, we actually had that problem last night when I saw a familiar name pop up in Cogsy Waffles chat who was also in Citrix, and I was like, you fucking asshole, gone.
Love it.
So could I just say on the subject of Twitch for that matter that I've been doing it now for 2.5 years and I've been on YouTube since 2006. I was a partner over on YouTube for that matter. And in the 14 years that I've done YouTube and the 2.5 years I've done on Twitch, I absolutely love the shorter time that I've been on Twitch compared to YouTube. The community is absolutely amazing. The getting to react with a community in real time and respond and engage is night and day different from creating content, putting it out there, and then doing what you can when it comes to filtering comments and everything like that. It's definitely two different worlds. I still consider myself a content creator, except I'm no longer playing a character necessarily. I'm just myself. So there is that difference, but because of that though, there's still, like, there's just, it's wildly crazy how much more I prefer Twitch over YouTube nowadays. And I honestly wish I would have moved sooner.
I kind of agree with you on the moving sooner part. Derp actually was a huge part of our YouTube channel when we first implemented it. He was the YouTube streamer. He was the content creator. He was the face of Paradigm Gaming on YouTube. And then he found Twitch. And then as soon as he went to Twitch, I took over YouTube when I was able to. And I started creating content, and he's been trying to get me over to Twitch for years, and I haven't been listening to him. It took me, what, how many years, Derp?
I don't know. What's the difference between 8 and what's yours? 3? 2?
5 years. It's a 5-year difference. I've been streaming for 3 years.
It was a 5-year fucking difference, like every other time for anything else.
When Derp wants me to do something, I'll get back to you in 5 years, bro.
Don was the same way. Don was the same way. I mean, he, you know, much like Derp, I mean, I created my Twitch account back 8 years ago. But I was like, well, what do I do with this?
That's exactly what happened when I created my Twitch account, 2012.
And it was a matter of, I don't know what to do with this. So, I mean, I don't know. I consider myself to always be behind the curve on that. You know, I've gotten to rub elbows and have conversations with some of the higher up YouTubers, and they always say the same thing. Why don't we recognize you? Why aren't you one of us, basically? And it's always the same thing. Because I was uploading my videos to this little website called MySpace, which I was more popular than YouTube at the time. You asshole.
Well, I agree with you on Twitch. I love talking with people in real time. I love the interaction. I love the community. And if there's anything that I still utilize that I utilize YouTube for, it's all of our Twitch clips. It's all of our highlights. It keeps.
Yeah.
It's almost as if it's an archive for all of the work that Derptaku and I have been doing on Twitch. And it's a fun place to go. Oh, you missed something? Don't worry. Go to our YouTube channel and see what you missed out on. And it's fun. I have a lot of fun creating content from the content that we produce on Twitch.
Very much so.
The community is just the bigger thing. I mean, obviously, Twitch has its trolls and everything like
Absolutely.
That. But I'm not being called autistic every 3 seconds either. So that's always good.
Yeah, we have new moderator tools now. So those people, those trolls.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
You better not cry.
To be fair, when that happens on YouTube, I'm just like, thank you for raising awareness. So, you know.
Thank you for raising awareness.
That's about it. It's the only best response I've got. What are they going to say to that? Way to point out the obvious. Thanks.
Well, Omega, you said you were a partner on YouTube since 2006. What did you like when you were a part of YouTube back then, before Twitch?
It was somewhere that I could do my content because I've always done a wide variety of things, whether it's been as a character or performing of some kind. So like I had an outlet to do that. Like there, when I started doing Mr. Invincible back in 2006, that was even before we were uploading to YouTube. We were putting that on a private website and hosting that. So it all of a sudden I had this creative outlet because I've been doing, I guess you'd call it performance art, since I was like 7. So I mean, it finally gave me the ability to put my art out there and have that outlet and show off all this stuff. And it was like, I can perform. And, you know, it was something for me to do.
Okay. That's awesome.
It's the best way I could describe it anyway. You know, it still happens every now and again. I'll go over to the storage container that I've got nearby and I'll, you know, go get something or put something in storage. And I happen to glance over and I'm like, ooh, there's the briefcase. There's a cape inside of it. Maybe one more.
it's glaring at
Mr. Invincible, the return. you're gonna be like Thor in Avengers, and he got fat.
Exactly. No, it would be. It would be too, because some of those early Mr. Invincible episodes, I had that classic. You know, I'm a junior in high school. Look at my awful stringy mustache that I've got growing. So you know that sort of thing. So yeah. I don't know. That's the difference. That's the difference. YouTube, I always definitely saw more of as a performance, whereas Twitch, there are definitely some things I do for added content, if you will. But I'm 100%. I get to be me here, and because of that, I just it's you know, it's better. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be partnered on YouTube, and you know, it's not necessarily about the money, you know, especially when you're a lower partner on the totem pole and make about a much in a month to go get the dollar menu. That's not what it's about. It's about being able to do your art. So that's the way I see it. And
well, we like that you get to be you. We like you. This is why you're here.
Yeah, we like you.
I like not having to put on a performance. It's nice.
It does get a little tiring when you have to be like, "Hi guys, I'm back for the millionth time. Is anybody out there?"
Exactly.
My cheekbones hurt. I hate my life. Please subscribe.
I mean, there are times. I mean, a lot of the videos eventually did start evolving into parodies of my life, if you will. So, like, I would, you know, there was a creative video that I created in 2012. When my family moved away from Washington, and this was the first time that I would really truly be on my own away from my family. I was out of my own apartment and they were moving back to the East Coast. So this is it. This is the moment where my family's leaving. So I created a video that was a parody of those events that looked at how I would have treated it if I were younger. But because I had a little bit more experience and was older, like, I was able to handle it differently.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a creative kind of video like that. So I was able to do, you know, that sort of thing. Where I really couldn't get away with something like that on Twitch because it just doesn't work.
There's different platforms for different types of expression, I think. There's a different audience for each platform.
Yeah.
Like, Twitch, Twitch is for just acting stupid and doing dabs.
Exactly. I
in
get
the moment.
Into that, absolutely.
In real time.
while playing Fortnite or Minecraft.
And YouTube's the place where you clip that and you share it. Look at the stupid thing that I did.
Look at this 1x1 scale of Hogwarts castle I made.
Those are cool, damn it.
Those actually are.
They are.
Now there are people on Twitch like Dr. Disrespect who do put on personas and everything, and that's fine if that's your thing and everything. I just, you know, that works. That works for you.
What's a persona? I don't know what you're talking about. I do no such thing.
Really? It's this thing where you crawl inside a cat body.
Or the cat body crawls inside.
Or it's this thing when I keep on talking as time goes on and things get repetitive and suddenly things start to change and all of a sudden, oh my God, I've become a completely different person.
It's okay, Peter.
Twitch brings out the worst and the best. Derp, we do miss your cat persona, though. Your samurai cat was kind of cool.
Yeah, I know. I'll get to it.
I was going through some old clips with our channel, dude, and I ran into the cat, and I'm like, aw, kitty.
Well, I might be able to test it more now that I got the new graphics card, see how it holds up with running two programs.
All right.
But it's hard to run PC programs while I'm running the cat. It doesn't really cooperate.
That's true, especially when your webcam's not cooperating either.
And I'll never forget that about YouTube, because Dawn was the one who got me over to Twitch, and it was in Way's channel, and she said that we were going over to visit the best pussy on Twitch. And that's exactly what we did. And I said, all right. She said, if I don't follow this guy, she's dead. I'm dead to her. So I,
yep, that is what she says.
You know, I better follow. So I followed. And then the following Sunday I was like, oh, this person's on again. So I went over and I clicked the channel and then I was like, who the fuck is this?
I take it you ran into my part of the stream.
Sure did. Like, hey, I like this too.
And you found out, oh, it's two people, huh?
Surprise!
And then I thought, this is genius. I love this. This is great.
When Derp and I started doing Paradigm Gaming, since we live two states away, we wanted to do something where we can have some sort of project and hobby where we can still be connected as friends. And it just turned into this big thing we never even saw coming. And it's the Paradigm Gaming has been the best thing that's ever happened in my life. I get to still game with this guy and get creative.
Me too.
Aw.
Aw.
Somebody bring the tissues. Omega's being sweet.
I'm diabetic. I can't handle him. So let us...
Cabbage.
Remain here.
Forever? In this space? I stream tomorrow, Derp. I can't stay here forever.
Have you guys tried the new Iron Man VR yet?
No.
No, I did just download it. I'm going to test it tonight.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That would be fun.
I haven't downloaded it. I do have my VR set up.
I love Iron Man.
Can I just say something about the Iron Man VR? All right, cool. So, it's like, wow, it got really silent. I got all your guys' attention. They did when PlayStation did their Nintendo Direct, I'm sorry, their State of Play... Direct.
Wow.
That was a shot.
Their very first video State of Play. It was their Nintendo Direct. It was PlayStation's Nintendo Direct. And everybody on Twitter called them out on it. But you know what? PlayStation was like, hey, Nintendo can do it. We should do it too. Why not? No one will ever notice. Oh, they noticed. But anyway, I digress. Their first episode was nothing but VR games on what's coming in the future. And this was over a year ago. They're like, guys, check out this VR game. It's Iron Man. It looked amazing. Mm. Omega, we went to E3. There was no PlayStation. There was no Sony.
No.
They had a few trailers online for games coming in the future, but we saw nothing at E3 because they abandoned
us.
Yeah,
it was sad that you didn't get the opportunity to take advantage of the Sony booth. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was pretty darn cool the previous years. That's how I found Everybody's Golf. So, I mean, I feel bad that they weren't there because it was your first time.
They haven't even talked about VR since that State of Play. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, surprise, here's a free demo today for Iron Man. And I'm like, where did this come from? You guys mentioned this a year ago. Now you expect me to download it? Of course I'm going to download it. I want to play it. So I'm a little excited and a little salty at the same time.
Yeah.
Because what are they? Are they just going to slap this and say, okay, fine, here you guys go. Well, we're going to worry about the PlayStation 5 next. And I'm like, that's how I feel about it. Part of me is heartbroken, but part of me is excited. I wanted PlayStation to build excitement and hype for this, but I think that's what they're trying to do with the demo. But this came left field for me. You guys have thoughts?
No, I completely agree. And honestly, my excitement for I definitely want to do it for PS4 Sundays in the future. And I will be wearing my Iron Man shirt while I do so. The one that's got the battery pack light up repulsor in it. So, you know, I look forward to it.
Nice.
So, no, I mean, I can't wait. I mean, yeah, out of nowhere for sure. But that seems to be, I don't know, for some reason, it almost seems to be like the norm when it comes to these announcements. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like in the past couple of years, you know, it could be a Nintendo Direct. It could be this State of Play or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, bam! By the way, you know, we had the Nintendo Direct that was like, check out this brand new game. It's called Cadence of Hyrule, and you can get it right now. Like, what? So, I mean, you know, it's like that.
Yep.
That's the way I see it.
It's usually on the unknown, the completely weird unknown games, like that are just random out of nowhere. Like VR games in general are never announced.
Tetris 99 did that. So I mean, you know, it was the same thing. Like all of a sudden you got this, and then it's just like, bam, I'm out. Okay, where'd this come from? We haven't heard anything about this, or we haven't heard anything about this in I don't know how long, and all of a sudden you're here.
And you know what? There's only one man on this entire planet who did it right once. And that was Todd Howard of Bethesda. He's like, hey guys, check out this new game. It's called Fallout Shelter. This is what it's like. This is how you play it. Oh, and by the way, when this presentation is over, you'll be able to download it, which gives you guys the time to digress and digest exactly what you just saw. And we already know you're excited. You're welcome. PlayStation was like, hey guys, here's a game. Fast forward 1 year later.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, here's the demo. What?
I really want to know what goes who. I mean, where are these corporate, you know, meetings held where they have to be like, you know, this is what the people want. This is what we need to do. Like, why?
Remember, I explained this in one of the last podcasts. It's because all of their budgeting went to buying a company.
Yes.
So that's why they had to spend less on the logo design and also now on this.
We've got no money for marketing, guys. Don't even announce it. Just push it out. We got to buy a new company.
This is why I'm happy to be here. I get to vocally respond to the podcast now.
Yeah.
Blue, last bit of news.
Rumor and innuendo?
Is a rumor and speculation.
I swear to God, if you bring up Silent Hill, I'm going to fucking lose my shit.
It is.
God
damn it. It's Resident Evil 5 on the PS5.
God damn it. God damn it. All right. So apparently they're still rumored for a Silent Hill for PlayStation 5. I may be getting my wish. I may not. Someone's jerking my chain and I don't like it.
If they're going to jerk it right.
Yeah. Just officially announce that Silent Hill's real. And Konami's letting Sony do it, and then I don't have to worry about it. I'll just need to worry about the game coming out.
It's easy. It's called The Medium.
Yeah, that's coming out for the Xbox. I'm sorry. The Xbox Series X also coming to PC.
I heard it was gonna be a pachinko machine.
Oh man. Oh, Mega's got choked. Triggered.
He got you back.
You can trigger me. It. I'll trigger you.
Yeah, apparently. Where was that thing? Derp really wants to. I was reading about it the other day. There is rumors that there's more rumors that Silent Hill is still a thing. More people are talking about it. More people are saying new things. That only confirms that it's possible. But they're just rumors, and I'm trying not to get in. I'm trying
rumor
not.
Rumor and innuendo.
And yeah, I'm trying not to let it get to me. There's nothing more that I want than a real legit Silent Hill game. But just making me salty every time I read more rumors.
That's fair. That's 100% fair.
I don't want to be heartbroken. I love these games so much.
I mean, honestly, if I was in a similar boat to you, it would have to be with Breath of the Wild 2. There has been nothing said since the previous announcement, and it's still, you know, holiday 2020. You know, time's ticking here, Nintendo. You haven't said a word.
Wait, you know what? You know what other game had that?
Oh, God.
It was just a logo. And it said four.
Metroid Prime 4. Well, they didn't scrap Breath of the Wild 2 and start from the beginning like they did Metroid Prime 4. I was hoping
yet
that E3 2020 would be the year we would see a trailer for Metroid Prime 4. I would hope that we would see more on Breath of the Wild 2. But then E3 got canceled.
My thought was that honestly the Nintendo booth at E3 this year would have been Metroid themed, or it would have been Breath of the Wild themed again. That's what my guess was.
And you know what? There's been so many articles, I don't know if you guys saw. There's been a lot of rumors and people talking that Nintendo might not have a Nintendo Direct this year for E3 or anything beyond E3 because of COVID-19. And they're focusing on their employees, which is great, and their strategies, which is great. But the only people who are bringing out news right now is Xbox.
Not wrong.
Sony soon.
That's true. Sony soon.
Sony soon said PS5 announcements are coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nintendo did show off that new Paper Mario trailer out of nowhere, though, so that was exciting.
That's true.
That was very exciting. So that's something. We got something.
And I mean, to your point, though, I can remember. I was there, E3 2017. We were all standing in line. We were in the giant atrium of the convention center there. We're all standing there. I mean, you stood in that line. We stood in that line waiting to get in so we could get to the Final Fantasy VII demo. We were all in that giant group.
Yep.
So imagine that in 2017, and then collectively, that entire group just all at one time cheering because everyone is on their phones watching the Nintendo Direct. And when that Metroid Prime logo came up, like, that was like everybody. That
the entire hall erupted?
The hall, it was insanity. It was absolute, it was a happening.
That hits me right where I live, man. That's the thing,
people don't realize when it comes to E3, those presentations that you guys watch online is essentially taking place inside the Staples Center, which you don't have access to.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's awesome. I'd say E3 2021 is probably going to be our year.
Yeah. Well, and they're also, I mean, the word hasn't come out officially, but TwitchCon 2020 is, we don't know. I mean, there's a rumor that it's going to be canceled, but again, rumor and innuendo. So I don't know.
That was supposed to be in what, September, October?
September. So, you know, they canceled the one in Amsterdam, and like, there's just this huge radio silence on the official TwitchCon Twitter. About whether or not TwitchCon 2020 is happening. And I'm just like, just say it's canceled. We know it's canceled.
I think they want to see where the world's at after July.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I read that the Los Angeles mayor was going to put off doing any kind of big gatherings until 2021, no matter what. Maybe even through 2021.
TwitchCon might have to relocate back to San Jose.
I'd give anything for it to relocate back to San Jose.
it's a faster drive.
At least we could drive to it.
Absolutely. TwitchCon is one of those places that I've never been to before and heard good things, but now that I'm 3 years vested into Twitch, and that is the primary location of all of my streams and everything that I do, I actually want to go. I want to meet all these other streamers that I watch. I would love to see what it's all about. I hear nothing but good things.
I owe a lot of streamers and creepers meals, and you know, I've already promised citric acid some chicken piccata, so I got to get on that. So.
Chicken piccata?
Well done.
Dude, chicken piccata is delicious. Actually, Derp and I used to cook that when we used to work together at a restaurant in Washington.
Yep.
Hey, I've had your pasta. I need it again.
Fire pasta? Dude,
fire
I made
pasta.
Some.
Fire pasta is amazing, isn't it?
I made some the other day. I'll make more. I got you.
I use penne, though.
That's fine. You know,
penne's good shit.
Penne, that'll hold on to the sauce.
I was watching an anime and they were cooking okonomiyaki. What's it called?
Okonomiyaki. Yep.
Okonomiyaki. I was close. But
I made that for you guys down. I made that for you
did.
In LA, right?
You did, but I was watching the anime show Fruits Baskets and they go to this restaurant and get it. I'm like, I've eaten that. I know what it's like. And I was like, yes. I geeked out.
Absolutely.
Over Japanese food in an anime. You're welcome, Derp.
Blue weeped out.
I did.
And it's glorious.
I did weep out. It took me 5 years. Final thoughts.
It's been
1 week since you looked at me.
It's been an awesome time having you here, Omega.
Yeah.
No.
And we may have to have you back again when there's more topics we can discuss.
Sure. I'd love to come back anytime. I don't want to impose or anything like that now, but no,
Well, we invited you, mother...
I enjoyed the crap out of it. I really did. And I love talking about this stuff with you guys who... Yeah, I do. I really appreciate it very much so.
Absolutely.
And we appreciated having you as a guinea pig.
Oh, I love being a guinea pig. Mm.
Thank you for being here, Omega. This was a lot of fun. It's nice to not have an entire structure, but just to talk about the world of video games and what we're all about. But definitely want to do this again, Derp. We'll have to have Omega back. We'll have to have more guests. And especially if our viewers are listening and they like what they hear today, who knows what we'll have in the future.
The future?
The future.
Future.
That's Blue's thing. He just says the future just so he can put the Back to the Future jingle in.
Yep, pretty much. It's consistent. I do it in my stream all the time. So it's like you're listening to a stream, but in radio.
I'm not the best when it comes to the most modern games. That's for darn sure. There are some things that definitely pique my interest. But, I mean, retro games, that's definitely my bread and butter, if you will. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Omega, before you head off and venture into the world of video games, do you have anything that you want to say to the listeners out there?
Happy Thanksgiving, pilgrims. I'm John Wayne at the first Thanksgiving, pilgrims.
You heard it here, folks. That was beautiful. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Seth MacFarlane, if you want to spend more time working on the Orville and need somebody to voice Peter, give me a call.
You heard it, Seth MacFarlane. We got you a replacement. No. A temporary substitute. I'm sorry. Not a replacement.
Because, you know, he definitely listens.
A doppelganger.
A doppelganger. All right, guys. That's about all the time we have tonight. Omega, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Fantastic of you being here.
My pleasure.
Before we go, though, can you please tell everybody, where can we watch you?
You can watch me and my beautiful face at https://www.twitch.tv/omega_apex128 or omegaapex128.live every Friday through Monday.
And where can you find us?
At the drop of a paradigm.
Yeah!